Way down in Missouri, when I heard this lullaby, while the stars were blinking and the moon was shining high.
Welcome to Showing Missouri, the history of Missouri, one county at a time. This week we are in Perry County, Missouri, right down the Mississippi River. Right, a historic county, one of the first one ever created, founded on November 16, 1820. 484 square miles today, right on the river, named for Oliver Hazard Perry, a naval hero of 1812. We are at the historic courthouse, one of the most beautiful courthouses you'll see in the state. We are here with Nikki Shrimp, the communications director of Citizens Electric. Thank you for having us.
Hello.
And Brent Buick, right? Now, I'm going to have to edit that out. Tell me how to say that one more time.
Like beer. And then ick. So you tried a bear and it was gross.
Brent Buick. Now you're speaking my
there
language.
You go.
Brent Buick, the city administrator for the city of Perryville. Thank you so much for the hospitality. And then Trish Ezrick, right?
Ertzfeld.
I thought I'd get that wrong a couple times. Trish Ertzfeld, tell folks about your exact title because it sounds cool. We know a lot of city administrators. Folks at the Culps are always fun. I mean, how could you have Caleb Jones run and not have a good time? Tell me about your title.
So I am the director of the Perry County Heritage Tourism. 5 years ago, the city of Perryville made a bold step and along with the county of Perry decided that we were really missing a lot of unique opportunities, not promoting ourselves for tourism. We have a lot of great things here. One of the things in creating this division was what was special about us, and obviously it's our heritage. So we're very proud to have that in our name as Heritage Tourism.
Well, it's awesome. It is a beautiful county and a beautiful place, one of the most green places you ever run into. And it's for folks that know, if you're familiar with Cape Girardeau, familiar with St. Louis, it's in between St. Genevieve and Cape Girardeau, kind of a little bit further south down. Go, you take 55 out. How far are you from downtown St. Louis here in Perryville?
We're 80 miles south of St. Louis,
yeah.
30 miles north of Cape Girardeau.
That's what I would have thought. Well, I did some reading. Now, y'all correct me if I'm wrong. The first settlers came, the first European settlers, sometime between 1796 and 1800 from Kentucky, Pennsylvania, in a place called the, now I've definitely butchered this, Boys Brule Bottom.
We can actually trace our heritage back to the late 1790s when Lewis Larimer, who founded Cape Girardeau, brought the Shawnee tribe and a small band of Delawares to the Apple Creek area just north of the Apple Creek.
And the story I've heard about that is that the Osage Indians were always the most aggressive, maybe meanest Indians you could run into, and he recruited them to come here to put a buffer. So maybe the Osage would fight them, the Shawnee and the Delaware Indians, and they wouldn't fight the folks in the European settlers. Is that my very far off?
No, you're pretty spot on. They were actually brought here to serve as buffers between the Osage Indians and our French settlers in Kaskaskia and St. Genevieve that was just starting out. Unfortunately, the Shawnee aren't big fighters, and they were more peaceful tribe, and so they pretty much told them to settle their differences on their own. So, but they were gone by 1821. They had already moved further west when we became a county. So the
county did begin to form. But the person I read that maybe the most prominent, I don't know if I actually read who the first, they agreed on who the first settlers were, but Isidore Moore around 1801.
Isidore Moore. So we had a group of Europeans that came in, English from Kentucky area. Isidore Moore was a part of that. They settled in what we call the Boys Brule area, which is French for burnt wood. The second small band of settlers, American settlers that came in, are known as our Maryland Catholics. They were actually the second group of settlers, and they came here to claim their Spanish land grants.
Now, I read where they said Lord Baltimore brought folks to Maryland. I guess that's where they named the town. They were part of it. The pitch was there was some persecution of Catholics at the time in Maryland. And it's kind of hard today to think, you know, if you think maybe a person's Muslim, they get a little harder shake of it. At one time in Maryland, apparently, being Catholic would give you a harder way to go. So they came here and partly so nobody would nobody bothered. They could be Catholic however they wanted to be.
Right, right. And they actually settled in what has become known as the Barrens, which we have the St. Mary's of the Barrens Catholic Church and the National Shrine here yet today. And it's an amazing place to visit.
Well, that's awesome. So you mentioned Kaskaskia. Now, and it's always interesting, if you go to St. Genevieve and you take the ferry to Illinois, you're already in Illinois when you get on the ferry. Now, I saw on the map, Kaskaskia is in Illinois?
Kaskaskia was the first capital of Illinois, but I want to say it was in 1812 when we had an earthquake. The river was supposedly ran backwards. It shifted the river, the Mississippi River, into a different route, which cut Kaskaskia off from Illinois. So the only way you can get to Kaskaskia is on the Missouri side. So
is that in Perry County, or do you still consider that whatever county is across the river?
It is not considered Perry County, and it's not considered St. Genevieve County either. It is territory. It is land that belongs to the state of Illinois.
I guess if Missouri ever tried to invade, though, they'd have a hard time keeping that. One of my the favorite questions I always like to ask folks when we talk about how people settled here was how did your family, Nikki, come to settle here and live in Perry County?
Well, that's a great question, and I'm actually going to be doing some like ancestry and research, so that's been kind of on my to-do list. Again, Catholic, so you know we were kind of raised down in the Boyce Brule Bottoms. So that's where my roots kind of started. So my maiden name was Brewer, which they were brewers. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, Catholic, Brewer, it all kind of.
Yeah, it all kind of makes sense.
It does.
Brent, how'd your family come live in Perry County?
So I'm the fourth generation. They came from Germany to the traditional, you know, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod also started in Perry County. And there were seven small cities, and we lived in between those cities. So my grandparents, great-great-great-grandparents did.
Trish, how did your family come to live here in Perry County?
I come from a German immigrant. I am what I call a five-generation Menfroan. Menfro is a small community in Perry County, and oddly enough, I'm very proud. Menfro soil is designated as the state soil of Missouri.
Wow.
And Menfro is right here in Perry County.
So. Would not have known that. Now, we've had someone come join us, the presiding commissioner of Perry County, Mike Sauer. Thank you for joining us. And I was just asking folks how they come to live here in Perry County. How did you come to live here in Perry County?
German heritage. My family moved over here in 1847. And proud to say that my son is still living on the homestead of that family farm. So it won't be too many more years. We'll have a sire on that homestead for 200 years.
Well, that's amazing. That's awesome. Now, where's that homestead? Folks will be familiar with Perryville. How would you get there from maybe downtown Perryville?
It's located between Beale and Apple Creek.
Gotcha.
About the easiest way for local people to see it. Interstate 55 to Beale exit. South on B Road, turn left on Highway F. Exactly 3 miles down the road.
What do you all do there at the homestead?
Farm. We have a family farm yet.
What do you grow?
Cows.
Yeah.
Cows, calves. We don't do no row cropping anymore. We got away from the row cropping.
I understand that. That's Butler County is very similar to where I'm from, to Perry County in a lot of different ways. And that's one thing. The eastern side of the county is as flat as it can be per row crop. The western side used to farm. Now it's all, if there is a farm, it's got cows on it. Interesting when we start talking about how folks came here. They talked about when Perry County was formed, about 8 months after statehood. So it wasn't very long. I guess as people moved, they kind of settled the eastern part of the state first and moved west. I've heard a lot of German names here. They said around 1830, Germans started coming here in large droves. Tell folks the German heritage. I've always thought of Perryville as a German area. How's that German heritage still here today?
So in Perry County, we have three different sets or different kinds of Germans. We have Bavarian Germans, we have Baden Germans, and probably our most famous is our Saxon Lutheran Germans. The immigration of 1838 and 39, 700 Saxon Lutherans organized to come over here. It's probably the largest organized immigration in the country, and they ended up settling in East Perry County.
What part of Perry County? Just all through along the riverbed? Or?
East Perry County being Altenburg and Frohna, they actually formed Peitsdorf, Dresden, Friedheim. There were seven original settlements. Today, only three of them exist by name.
Wow. So I guess there's got to be a good Oktoberfest here, right?
We love our Germans and we love our Oktoberfest. We have what they call a Saxon Fall Festival. Yep. It's an event that's been going on for 48 years, I believe.
See, I've always remembered around this part of the country the picnics each church has. Mm-hmm. Like is Altenburg, is that Cape yep. County? Okay, where's that?
That's Perry County.
Perry County. Yep. Yeah, I've always remembered all through here, really from St. Genevieve down, the church picnics are always this cool thing. My family, when I was raised, was Pentecostal, not the jean skirts, but so the church picnic was not nearly as fun. You actually dreaded it. No one wanted to know except my mom. Love your mom. Yeah. The interesting thing I've seen, you know, when usually there's a characteristic to different countries that settled here. The French kind of moved up from Cape, and then the Germans came and probably started to dominate it. It seemed you could tell as they started to build the courthouse. I was reading here, Perryville was always against the county seat. Mm-hmm. 1825, they put together a courthouse. And it was funny, both times, this bid was for $486 to build a one-story, typical for the time, wood courthouse. Came in $7 under budget. Thomas Hayne built it. They were quite proud that he beat the budget by $7. Then in 1859, they needed more space. So they appropriated $8,000 for a two-story courthouse. John Layton built that. This time they were $300 under budget, which is something they parroted and were very proud of. Now, a lot of parts of the state, they probably would have found $300 to spend on something. Mm-hmm. But in Perry County, they were a little tight, a little German with that money.
Yeah.
When I assume is somewhat still today. Then in 1903, they approved a bond for $30,000. J.W. Gaddis had the drawings, and that's, I guess, the building we're in today. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Now, this is a beautiful courthouse. You've had to put some work in to make this.
Right before I took office, the county commission spent, $3.5 million revamping the whole courthouse.
And part of that, I guess, is you got regulations for handicap accessibility yes. and things, but a lot of it, I mean, this is a beautiful room. I mean, it's got to be somewhat of a point of pride for people in the community to have a courthouse this terrific on this square.
Absolutely. This is what they did is just absolutely wonderful, this courthouse. They exposed all the real wood on the staircases. It was all covered up. Redid the roof to look exactly like it looked before. I mean, the exterior of the courthouse is about as true to the day it was built right now.
And it's interesting. I've seen you had some at the top. Mm-hmm. That's usually in most counties where the gallows would be. But yep. when I was reading about Perry County, you've never executed anyone in Perry County.
No.
And that I did read something interesting. Right around the turn of the last century, there was a guy that came home and didn't have dinner. And the legend was he killed his wife. I guess he had a hair trigger on him. He was sent to St. Francis County for the trial. Well, the people that came over to watch was from Perry County. At the end of the county, the judge turned him over to the people. And he didn't make it back to Perry County. They handled their business over it. So there was not an execution in Perry County, but a Perry Countian was executed by Perry Countians. But it was over near Farmington.
Yeah.
Now, how far off is that story?
It's pretty close to what I was told years ago.
I'll have to give Jared credit for that because I wasn't sure if he was serious or not, but I said I was going to tell him.
So that is one of the things that we talk about when you do a tour through our courthouse is we talk about our first court case that was here, which was actually a $5 bill counterfeit case. And has anyone ever been hung here? And the murder case is one that we talk about. So,
there was execution of a Perry County, just not in Perry County.
Right. He lived in Perry County. The crime was committed in Perry County, but they had to change of venue because the people felt so strongly about it. He did not have a fair chance. And so they had to change of venue. And then when it was, not able to be decided in the court, they let the people decide. And how they did that was they went outside, and the people were outside, and they said, everyone for, go to this side of the square, this side against, go to this side, and it was overwhelmingly. And they handled it themselves then, so that he was given over to the people.
You know, there's a story.
Still don't know where he was buried at, because it was talked about that they brutally took care of him, strewing pieces of him in the fields, you know, from leaving the town and stuff. So
I remember there was a story in Nottoway County when I was doing that there was a guy that was such a jerk that everybody in town hated him so bad that he was being real obnoxious at a restaurant. And so when he left, a handful of guys just started beating him up, and they took a little too far. And so they had like 32 men in the town throw a punch, so that nobody could confess. And there was a documentary about it to this day that was the guy was killed, and nobody would talk because everybody had a hand in it, literally. Hmm. So it was unsolved, but everybody kind of knew. Yeah. Different type of justice back then, maybe, Jerry. In a way. So this county was a German county by the time the Civil War came. Throughout the state, it was pretty well understood that anywhere there were Germans, they were pro-Union. They just weren't, slavery wasn't part of their culture. So Perry County had a pretty quiet Civil War, is that correct?
They did. We really don't have any accounts within Perry County. We do have, you know, several people who went to serve. We were very prominent in stepping up and serving. Most of our people were of the Union side that went in and enlisted, but we don't have any skirmishes or anything here in Perry County.
I see you did raise a local regiment, but that was mostly to protect against bushwhackers?
Yes. And also, when we were talking about the German settlements, the Frohna, Altenburg, Uniontown was one of those, and it was originally named Peitsdorf, and so it was around the turn of the Civil War that they changed their name to Uniontown. Two reasons have come to light that being called that. One is because they were for the Union side. The other was that the soldiers that were coming in couldn't pronounce Peitsdorf, so they just named it Union. So it's Union.
Very German efficiency right there. So interesting thing, though, a lot of the folks that moved to Missouri throughout that time, it was weird. They would come and live on the East Coast, and then they might come through the Cumberland Gap and a generation or two be in Kentucky and Tennessee, and then end up here. It seems like a lot of Germans went straight from Germany to Missouri. And maybe that's technology began to increase. Or I seen when we were in Benton County in Cole Camp, they would run ads in German newspapers to move here. And I guess they skipped the whole two or three generations coming across the Eastern United States. Just came right. I guess maybe there was a railroad by then that could come. It made it a little more efficient.
The railroad went through, well, no, not necessarily. Most by that time in the 1830s and stuff, it was still mostly river traffic. Mm-hmm. Railroad didn't come through until the late 1800s. One railroad didn't come through till 1904. So they're still traveling by river, but they would send ads out, and we would promote our locations here, saying, you know, what great facilities, you know, land to be had. You can grow anything.
They had tourism back then.
They had tourism back then, and so they would send ads out. People would come here, and then they would ride home, and more of their family and stuff would come too.
Well, you know, you go down by the Missouri River, they talked about how that was like the Rhineland in Germany. A lot of similar soil qualities, a lot of the same type of climate, I guess, as you'd find in Germany was right down the Missouri River. And maybe that's what drew them, because you'd have a new world, but it'd be kind of like your old one in some ways.
Our Saxon Lutherans that came over in such a large group, they actually settled this area because, one, it was a new frontier. They were looking for virgin land that they could call their own and not be not have any fear of doing their religion and stuff, and they said it looked like home, so they were very much at home. Now, they wouldn't have survived their first winter here had it not been for the Scott-Irish Presbyterians a few miles north of them. They actually helped them through the winter. But
kind of their own kind of Thanksgiving almost, right?
Exactly.
Want to always take a minute before we take a break and thank our sponsors, the Missouri Association of Counties, Missouri Farm Bureau, and the Missouri Association of Electric Co-ops. Let us come and talk about the history of counties like Perry County all throughout the state. We'll be right back on Show Missouri, the history of Missouri one county at a time. We'll talk about present-day Perry County after this.
We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the Missouri way of life. We're for worrying less about the what-ifs and more about the why-nots. We're for checking off your bucket list and then making a new one. For starting a family, a business, a tradition. And if you find yourself starting over, we're here for that too. We're for building a life in Missouri and then going out and living it. And when it comes to making sure everything you've built is protected, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered for life.
Welcome back to Show Missouri. This is your Missouri one county time. This week we are in Perry County, Missouri, right on the Mississippi River, the eastern part of the state. We are in the beautiful courthouse, over 115 years old now, right here in downtown on the square. Very nice to be here. Presiding Commissioner Mike Sauer, I want to thank you very much for having us. This is a beautiful place. You've got to be really proud to have this.
Yes, very proud, very proud.
Nikki Shrimp with the Citizens Electric Co-op, thank you so much for joining us. So how much time do you have to spend explaining Caleb Jones to people?
Not too much. I'm relatively new to Citizens, so I'm still in the learning curve.
Well, you'll get the full dose of that. Yeah. You'll think one day, okay, I know what he was talking about now. Now, Brent Barrick, did I get that right this time?
You got it right.
The City Administrator of the City of Perryville, thank you so much for having us. And Trish Erdsveld, the Director of the Perry County Heritage Tourism. Now, I like the fact it says heritage. Now, why, you mentioned before people were proud to have that in there. What was the thought of having that in there, in the title?
Well, if you're going to be promoting yourself, you want to promote what is unique and special about your community or your city, and everything that we would think of always played back to our heritage. Mm-hmm. So that's what we hang our hat on around here.
It was never designed to be tourism for the sake of tourism. We were going to celebrate what made us special, and if people liked that, then they would naturally follow with the tourism. But to preserve and promote who we are was the original intention.
Now, wouldn't you, today, there's agritourism and a lot of things. Maybe people aren't taking a huge trip, but they're kind of staying local. That's had to come in at a good time, right?
Yes.
Now, where could someone find you on the internet?
Visitperrycounty.com.
Nice, I like that. Let's talk about Perry County today. The business I've always read, historically in Perry County, was you had farming, but a lot of cattle, a lot of hogs. Then you had mining. I assume mining has diminished like it has most places. Where do people work today, Brent?
You know, so Perryville is blessed. We have more work jobs than people. Gilster Mary Lee, who makes over 800 different types of generic, if you will, food products, but also they're the exclusive provider for Chick-fil-A Chicken Coat, and that's all distributed out of Perryville. So wherever you're eating Chick-fil-A in the country, it comes through Perryville. So that's cool. They have about 1,600 employees in the county in three different facilities. TG Missouri, 30 years ago, the community went to Japan and came back with TG Missouri. Started with 30 jobs. They have over 1,800 jobs. They're looking for 150 more people right now as we speak. So they're a tier one automobile manufacturer making everything from safety components, dashboards and airbags to anything chrome. So they have a pretty extensive line of business for everybody from Toyota and Honda to Ford and Subaru and Mercedes and lots of places in between. So those are our biggest employers. Robinson Construction is also located here. They have about 400 employees. They're regularly recognized as one of the largest construction contractors in the Midwest. Have a reputation that far precedes them, and they're doing business in 20 or 25 states at any given moment. We also have Earthworks and Semco Distributing, who make decorative stone for construction industry. Mm-hmm. Semco just finished Shaquille O'Neal's house in Atlanta, so that's pretty cool. We have a hospital for a community our size. We have a first-class hospital that does well.
What's the name of the hospital?
Great care, Perry County Memorial Hospital. They provide great care and can do lots of different things right here in town.
Is that owned by a system? Is it local board?
It's Perry County. It's a public hospital.
Well, I tell you what, I'm not sure there's very many counties that have sold their hospital and liked the result. I'm not saying there's not a lot of great hospital chains. I think you look around the state, counties and cities that have kept those hospitals, I don't think a lot of people regret keeping them.
Right. We do not want to ever see our hospital go away, and county has no intention of ever selling our hospital. We want to do everything we can to help them improve that hospital.
What's the secret to making that work? Because, I mean, there's very few counties anymore that still own a community hospital. What's been the secret to keeping that with the reputation it has?
Well, I haven't been in this job but 2 years, so I haven't had a whole lot of ties with the hospital. But the big thing we're working with them now is we're trying to get to where we work more together. Get the doors open. Let's all work together. Let's move forward and see if we can make it better than what it is.
It's interesting. Tell me about the co-op. Every town, you look at a community, and Ameren serves a lot of it, KCP&L, Empire. But really, where the growth happens in a lot of places is the co-ops. I mean, I know right now, I've always felt like, before COVID, like we built a highway out of Poplar Bluff to get so you could leave and come back and work. Really, what they found was there wasn't a big factory that came. What they found was a lot of people moved down from the suburbs in St. Louis that could live there, but now they have to have internet. Tell folks about the co-op here in Perry County.
Well, again, I'm fairly new with this, with the position, but what I have found, you know, they work with Touchstone and Wabash as a supplier, and they've got 82 employees right now. They are serving about 27,000. They have 27,000 members. So it is a co-op. It's member-owned, so which makes things a little different. October 31st at midnight, they celebrated their 75th birthday.
Wow.
So that was kind of cool with Halloween and all of that. But they have really, you know, tried to, what was interesting to me is, again, I'm still learning so much about it, but how this community is so interested in, like, solar. And that was one thing that I think there's 8 total solar parks in the cooperative, and 2 of them are here. So one's in Perryville, one's in St. Jen. And, you know, Steve Elsie, who is the member services coordinator, he had shared some pretty cool stuff with me about, like, right now they have 50 people in this co-op that have rooftop, that have invested in the rooftop solar. But the shared solar program they have, they've got about 3 times that amount of people involved. And, you know, so it shows that people are interested in, yeah, in renewables and all of that. So, you know, it's our community. I mean, I'm super proud of it. You know, I've worked in Cape Girardeau for a number of years. And, you know, everybody just always compliments this area. I think we kind of take it for granted that this is, you know, this is a really desired area. People, gosh, I always go up there and everything looks perfect, and, you know, so it is, you know, you take pride in it. I think that was one thing with citizens, you know, in their cooperative principles, the one that was a concern for community. And I just, you know, I think it's something that's probably more important now than ever with COVID, with all the things we're facing. You know, what can you do for your community, you know? And so those are the things that I want to focus on personally and professionally, just what can we do to give back to this community as a co-op.
I like that. So right now, how much of the county has broadband? I assume everyone here in Perry County, in Perryville, reaching out, maybe down 55, I would assume there's some broadband. How far out into the county does that go?
It's pretty limited once you get outside the city limits proper. There's a little bit down by the airport. We have fiber down there. There's a little bit that runs down 61. But in the rural parts of Perry County, internet is still an issue.
Yeah. Tell folks about the schools.
Schools here?
Now, I've always assumed there's always Perryville, right? Pirates.
Perryville Pirates.
Now, I assume there's a Catholic school?
Yep. St. Vincent's High School and grade school.
That here in Perryville?
In Perryville.
Now, what other schools are there in the county?
Then you have, what do they call them, the Lutheran school down in the East End now, because they joined together?
We have Emmanuel here in Perryville, Emmanuel Lutheran, and then the Altenburg Public.
But also United in Christ.
United in Christ, that's what
I was
trying to
think of.
Which
is in the East End, too. St. Vincent's is regularly recognized as a top 50 high school in the country. They've been recognized several times. The Lutheran schools feed into Saxony Lutheran, which is in Fruitland, which is just about 25 miles away. But they also have been recognized academically and athletically several times. And
I didn't know that. I've certainly heard of Saxon.
That's yeah. Interesting. And then Perry County District 32 is really strong. We passed our first tax levy increase for the school in 40 years, and they're building beautiful new buildings. First-class education is available here in Perryville. That then moves into Mineral Area Community College we have here located. We have Rankin Technical Institute, our technical college now.
They've really been growing. I mean, Rankin's a pretty good success story, right?
Yeah, and their strengths align with our needs. They develop strong workers, and we need strong workers.
Well, they develop jobs, people for jobs that exist, right?
Absolutely.
Always, I've seen a lot of people at the state level compliment Rankin because, you know, sometimes you can go to Mizzou and flip through the catalog of majors, and some of those, you know, yep. You can get that major, but no one's going to hire you for it.
Yep.
Rankin, pretty much all of their jobs are the people they prepare for jobs that are pretty much waiting, right? I mean, if you graduate Rankin, it's probably because there's a job waiting.
95-96% placement rate. They also do...
And not $10 an hour jobs. I mean, no, very good jobs.
Great jobs. And their approach to education is different. You'll spend so many days in a classroom followed by so many days working in the industry or working. We work closely with the Gilster Merrily Truck Garage, so they're graduating diesel mechanics, half-time classroom, half-time shop floor.
So I was flipping through reading about the history of Perry County, and I said there's no governor, U.S. senator, or president of the Senate, but you do have a former House Speaker from Perry County, Steve Tilley, represents very well, still very involved in state government. I interviewed the governor here at the courthouse earlier this afternoon, a close friend of his, and I saw Chris Jansen, somebody that I knew him before I knew he was a Missourian. I'm familiar with his music. Am I missing anybody? Is another Perry County person that folks would recognize the name of? Well, tell me how often Chris Jansen gets back.
Not as often as we'd like.
Yeah.
But we're working on that.
Yeah. That is a cool. I always think stuff like that's neat when you have someone that, you know, I'm from a very, very small community right in southwest Butler County. And sometimes you don't maybe think about that you could succeed in life and do things. But when you see people that have, that's got to be kind of uplifting to folks. And I think sometimes, you know, people talk about poverty in St. Louis, and I know it exists, but pretty much anywhere in St. Louis, in North City, you can see that Thompson Colton. I mean, you know, whoever works in there, the guy that runs that's making good money. You can see that success. Sometimes you can't always see that as vividly in other parts of the state. It's I always think it's neat to
He wasn't folks. Born here, but Kit Bond's family, Kit Bond spent a lot of time here in Perryville.
Is that right?
Was his grandparents his, that had his a house?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, just a couple blocks. So that's kind of an adoption.
Sure.
And I think it depends on what your interests are, if you recognize people or not.
Yeah.
You know, Chris is on the radio, and we all hear a lot of his music and stuff. But we also have Dr. Lynn Trapp, who was born and raised here. He is an accomplished concert organist and has played for the Pope and different ones. I mean, he tours in Europe and everything. We also had George V. McCauley, who a lot of people don't even recognize him. He was a Corning physicist and engineer, so he created the largest mirror lens, which ended up being in the largest telescope in Palomar.
Wow.
Yeah, so he was from here as well. And then a lot of people don't recognize him unless it's with the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. But Oscar L. Huber was the priest who gave President Kennedy his last rites.
Wow.
And he was from here.
That's
so
cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
All right. Tell me what the best picnic is. What the best festival is here in Perry County.
Best picnic, Seminary Picnic.
Yes. Now, where's Seminary Picnic at?
Right on the west side of Perryville, the city of Perryville. So it's I forget how many acres it is on that
Over
ground.
40 acres, yeah. But it's probably one of the longest running church picnics. I don't know. Definitely in this region. We have celebrated over 100 years.
That's outstanding.
And
there's also a cool story about at the corner there, they have the monument.
Lindbergh.
Do you
yes.
know that? The Lindbergh?
Yes.
That's a really cool story.
So that's a tourism project that we're working on. Charles Lindbergh used to barnstorm all over the Midwest.
Yeah.
And one of his places that he frequented a lot was right here in Perryville. And he used to land out in the field, the cow pasture, at the seminary picnic grove. Back then, the brothers and the priests, you know, everybody supported themselves. They had farm, and they done a lot of farming, and that is where their cattle was at. So it was a perfect grass landing for Charles Lindbergh to come in here and barnstorm. And that was probably maybe the first time that some of our Perry County people ever witnessed aviation up close. And so we're working on building a historical marker out there, because I'm going to say we may be the only one that can still stand there and imagine him coming in and flying in and landing, because it's been a cow pasture for over 100 and some years. And you see so many other places that have developed up. They've got Lindbergh memorial signs and streets and parkways and different things, but somebody can actually come here and envision him landing and kind of get that authentic experience again. So we're going to be putting a marker up for that.
That's really cool. It's nice that at a time when so many people want to tear down markers, you're putting one up. I like that.
They have a photo of him at the military museum there. I can't think of the above the higher education center.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they have a lot of information about.
He used to give local residents a ride trying to support himself for $3. And some of the schoolboys, we have firsthand accounts, memories of schoolboys. They used to pack water because he had an old Cadillac converter, carburetor or whatever. Must have just went through the water, and the boys would bring water, and then he would give them a ride so he could keep working.
What's a big rivalry game? Is it a basketball game? Is it a football game? Who's it with?
I think it's mostly basketball now. Used to be football years ago.
Who would have been the football game? Who would have played the big one?
It would be St. Vincent's and PHS.
Yeah.
And back when I was younger, I always remember that being a rivalry. But it seems like today now, in this era, it's more basketball. The Mayor's
Cup.
Nice. Before I ask the last question, I always enjoy the most. I want to thank our sponsors, Missouri Association of Electric Co-ops, Missouri Association of Counties, and the Missouri Farm Bureau for letting us come talk about places like Perry County. It's always an interesting thing. Everybody's got a few. The answers are always a little different. Everybody can maybe they'll think about the first thing they take somebody to. But when I always ask Brent if he's going to bring somebody here from out of town and he's going to show them one thing in Perry County, what would you have them see and what would you have them know about the folks that live here?
I'm going to answer that, kind of. We've worked real hard to create a weekend destination. So 30 years ago, we would have had one thing. We would have had Lutherans on the East End with the Saxon Memorial, where Concordia University started, and then we'd follow up with the seminary itself, which, you know, was world-class. It was the first higher education facility west of the Mississippi. It's the home of the American Vincentians, which went on to start DePaul University. You know, all those things kind of happened here, but now we can show you the Vietnam Wall at the Missouri National Veterans Memorial. We can follow up with the Tractor Museum, the American Tractor Museum, which is incredible, has, you know, 90 pedal tractors from Trisha's dad, another 60 rare tractors, you know, and so we have enough. And then we'd finish with a walk around the Association of the Miraculous Medal, which is the largest rosary in North America.
Wow.
And it's absolutely beautiful. 12 statues of Mary from all over the world. A church that's a 1/3 replica found in Rome.
If somebody wanted to take that weekend trip, where could they go to find information about it?
Trisha's website.
Visit perrycounty.com.
Trisha, of all the things that you could pitch somebody, if you had somebody coming in, where would you take them?
I would probably take them out to the Missouri's National Veterans Memorial. It really is a phenomenal site there, and it's truly a place of healing in a time that we're in right now.
That's where the governor was at today, correct? Visiting.
Yes.
Yeah. So if you brought Caleb down from Montauk County, I pretend he doesn't live in Columbia. He still lives in Montauk County to me. Where would you take Caleb? What would you show him about Perry County?
I think kind of near and dear to my heart is to go out to the show in the seminary grounds. Being Catholic,
yeah,
it's just to me, it is phenomenal. It's as we talked about before, you know, they call it the Rome, the little Rome of the Midwest. I mean, you walk in there and it's just amazing. So to me, that's just something I'm always kind of, it's right there when you get off the interstate, it's easy. And to me, I've told a lot of people to stop there.
Okay. Commissioner, if you're going to take somebody come out from maybe North Missouri, come down, Commissioner Bowie, come down, looked around, what would you have to know about Perry County? Where would you take them?
My first place would probably be the Veterans Memorial. Yeah. And then after that would probably be out to Miraculous Medal and the seminary grounds out there. It is phenomenal. Anybody that's never seen it will just be totally amazed when they do see it.
We want to thank you all for the hospitality. Thank you for letting us come here and talk about Perry County. What a beautiful county. The history is rich, and it's rich in an interesting way. A lot of the counties have a Civil War battle or something. It's interesting to see Perry County and see the real religious ties that are cultural. And it's always been interesting to me to see people that are from here, usually from here for a very long time. But thank you guys for having us, and we appreciate it. And we will see you next week on Show Missouri, the History of Missouri, one county at a time.
Way down in Missouri, when I heard this lullaby, while the stars were blinking and the moon was shining high.